Ezekiel chapter 27. Tyre made shipwreck. Lamentation. Having in chapter 26 described the fall of Tyre, which would ultimately result in her being no more, the prophet is now moved by the Spirit to take up a lamentation for Tyrus. Although the identification of some of the places involved in the Tyrian trade mentioned in this chapter is difficult, the general meaning of the chapter is clear and provides few problems of exposition. Tyre boasted of her greatness. Situated at the entry of the seas, the word is plural and should read entrances, that is, her northern and southern ports. She was a merchant of the people for many isles, that is, she traded with many distant coast lands. She was, in her own eyes, perfect in beauty, and this beauty consisted of her maritime greatness. The prophet has spoken of the time when all Tyre's glory would be placed in the midst of the water. It is this irony of a power dependent upon the sea being cast into the sea that is now expanded in this chapter. The remainder of the chapter may be considered under four headings: the Tyrian ship, the ship's cargo, the shipwreck, and the nation's lament for Tyre. Tyre is presented in the record as a merchant ship, to the construction and operation of which all her trading allies and dependencies contributed. The timber for its construction came from the trees of Sinar, the Amorite name for Hermon. The masts were made from the cedars of Lebanon, and her oars were made of Bashan oak. The authorized versions, "the company of Asherites have made thy benches," is almost certainly incorrect. The RV and RSV read the Hebrew word translated Asherites as Bith Asherim, that is, from boxwood, instead of Bath Asherim, as meaning the daughters of Asher. The word translated benches is a singular noun, and so with the revised margin we read, "They have made thy deck of ivory inlaid in boxwood from the isles of Kittim." Kittim being a reference to Cyprus, which is known to have supplied excellent box pine. The sails of this Tyrian ship were of fine embroidered linen from Egypt. The Hebrew word translated in the authorized version sail is nes, elsewhere translated banner or ensign, for example, Isaiah 11 verse 12. The pattern embroidered on the sails served the same purpose as flags do today, and the RV reads that it might be to thee for an ensign. "That which covered thee," thine awning, in the revised version, made of blue and purple material, was from Elisha, a place that cannot be identified with certainty. Elisha was one of the sons of Javan, the progenitor of the Greeks, and purple dye made from murex shells was common throughout the Mediterranean region. Her mariners were from Zidon and Arvad. Those are Phoenician cities associated with Tyre. And her pilots were the men of Tyre themselves. The men of Gebel were her caulkers. These were experienced craftsmen referred to in 1 Kings 5 as the stone squarers, or in the revised version, Gebelites, employed by Solomon in the preparation of the temple materials. Their ability to work with wood is referred to by Ezekiel. assisting Tyre, who is likened by the prophet to a mighty merchant ship, were all the merchant fleets of the then known world. Thus, the dependence of Tyre upon the nations and the reliance of these nations upon Tyrian trade is depicted. Because of its relatively small population, Tyre relied on a paid professional army drawn from various nations. The fact that she could afford this is another indication of Tyre's wealth. Serving in the army of Tyre, supporting the vast trading empire, and represented as hanging their shields on the sides of the Tyrian ship were mercenaries from Persia, Lud, that is Lydia, and Phut, that is Libya. This is the first mention in scripture of Persia by this name. It was at that time emerging as a power in preparation for the work appointed in Isaiah 44 and 45. These were required to set forth Tyre's comeliness, that is to fight in the field. They stand in contrast to the Phoenician peoples, the men of Armad with thine army, whose work appears to have been mainly domestic. The Gamadims appear to be unknown to history. It may be, as some suggest, that the word simply means warriors or brave soldiers. The ship's cargo, detailed in chapters verse 12 to 25, the cargoes carried by the Tyrian ship provide us with an extensive directory of Tyrian trade. And from this we can only marvel at the wealth of Tyre, which attracted trade from all parts of the world. Some nations entered voluntarily into a trading partnership with Tyre. Others were dependencies paying tribute in the form of goods. Tarshish is usually identified with Tartessus, a port and mining district on the coast of Spain, but it seems that there is more to it than this. Smith, in his History of the Ancient World, P. Smith, comments, "The Tarshish of the Hebrews and the Tartessus of the Greeks may be taken to include all they knew of Spain and perhaps of the western regions within and without the Straits of Gibraltar." The term ships of Tarshish is used on a number of occasions in scripture and is a way of describing large sailing vessels capable of making journeys into these extreme western waters. There's no doubt that the Phoenicians did visit Britain and obtained metals, especially tin, from its southern shores. Britain, as part of the extreme western outreach by the Tyrian trading ships, would be included in the word Tarshish. More will be said about Tarshish in the consideration of chapter 38. Javan, verse 13, referred to in Genesis 10, refers to the Ionian Greeks of Asia Minor. Meshech and Tubal, together with the Greeks, were engaged in the slave trade, persons of men, and in the manufacture and selling of copper. Brass is unlikely. Copper vessels. The identity of Meshech and Tubal is important and is considered in detail at chapter 38. Togarma, a people descended from Gomer, Genesis 10, known to the Assyrians as the Tilgarimu, were located in the region we know as Armenia, and were noted for breeding horses and mules. And Togarma is also mentioned in Ezekiel 38. The men of Dedan, the RSV follows the Septuagint and makes this refer to Rhodes, the Greek island off the southwest coast of Asia Minor. This is arrived at by reading Redan instead of Dedan. The letters R and D being very similar in Hebrew. The fact that Dedan is mentioned again in verse 20 is held by many to support this. Why would Dedan be mentioned twice? Certainly the Phoenicians colonized Rhodes, and they in turn could have supplied the Tyrian trade with ivory and ebony, having first imported it from North Africa. However, there are in fact two distinct tribes of Dedan mentioned in Scripture. One was of Hamitic origin, Genesis 10. The other was of Semitic descent, Genesis 25. There is thus no reason why Dedan should not be mentioned twice in this list. The Hamitic Dedan settling in Africa would certainly have been in a position to supply Tyre with horns of ivory and ebony. Syria, verse 16. In the Hebrew, the word rendered in the Authorized Version as Syria is Aram. In some Hebrew manuscripts and in the Syriac, the word is Edom, and the RSV follows this. The difference between Aram and Edom is not so great as appears in English. The fact that Damascus, the capital of Syria, is mentioned later favors the RSV's Edom. The precious stones, purple, linen, and embroidered work were the raw materials from which the Tyrians made the robes and jewelry for which they were famous. Judah and Israel, in verse 17. It may seem surprising to read that wheat was supplied by the land of Israel. However, this is in harmony with Acts 12, which states that Tyre was nourished by the king's, that is, Herod's, country. Compare also Ezra 3, verse 7. Whether the wheat was grown in the land of Israel, or whether they acted as middlemen in the wheat trade, is not clear. Minnith, the centre of the wheat trade, is mentioned as one of the Ammonite towns subdued by Jephthah, but the location is unknown to history. Kanag is not a place name, but refers to some kind of sweetmeat, which, together with honey and oil and balm, was also supplied by Israel and Judah. Damascus, verse 18, was the capital of Syria. The wine of Helbon, a village near Damascus, is mentioned as a choice wine in Assyrian inscriptions. White wool was a special fleece from sheep which foraged in the desert lands of Syria and Arabia. Dan and Javan, in verse 19, the tribe of Dan had long since gone into captivity. Following the RV margin, Roth and others, it is best to read Vedan and Javan from Uzal. The Hebrew word Uzal, translated going to and fro, in the Authorized Version being rendered from Uzal. Uzal is the ancient name for the capital of the Yemen. And Vedan may be a reference to Aden. Javan is Greece, and the inference from this verse is that the Greeks were carrying on trade between these Arab peoples and Tyre. Yemen was noted for its iron production, and especially for the manufacture of sword blades. Dedan, in verse 20, if the comments on verse 15 be accepted, refers to the Semitic Dedan, which provided precious clothes, that is, saddle blankets, NIV, for the Tyrian horses. Arabia and the princes of Kedah, verse 21, were nomadic tribes descended from Ishmael, who roamed the Syro-Arabian desert looking after their sheep. And they provided Tyre with lambs, rams, and goats. Compare this with Isaiah 60. Sheba and Reama, verse 22, descended from Cush, traded in gold, precious stones, and aromatic spices from the Persian Gulf area of Arabia. Haran, Cana, and Eden, the last name being spelled differently in Hebrew to the Eden of Genesis, were neighboring towns on the trade route from Babylon to Syria. They are described as merchants of Sheba, that is, they traded with Sheba, implying a very extensive trading consortium. In this trade, they in turn passed on to Tyre. Asher and Chilmad were towns in the vicinity of the Euphrates. They supplied Tyre with choice garments, carried in splendid chests of cedar wood. And by this vast network of trade, the Tyrian ship was made glorious in the midst of the seas. The words "made glorious" in the Hebrew imply weighted down or heavily laden. The RSV renders this as, "So ye who were filled and heavily laden." The shipwreck. This overloaded ship representing the kingdom of Tyre was led by her rowers, those who guided the affairs of the Tyrian state into the open sea. In this situation, self-sufficient and negotiating with pride, the Sea of Nations, she is lashed by the east wind. The ship sinks and her cargo and crew are cast into the sea, and the great trading power comes to an end, to the consternation of all the nations with whom she has engaged in trade and who had helped enrich her. The east wind, as a footnote here, that the destruction by the east wind of Tyre with its ships of Tarshish reminds us of Psalm 48. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. This had happened to Jehoshaphat's ships of Tarshish when he made a fleshly alliance with Ahaziah, the wicked king of Israel. And these ships of Tarshish, the mighty works of men, are symbols of fleshly pride and power, so evident in Tyre. In contrast, although the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. A beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Psalm 46 and 48. Thus will the kingdom of God be established, and fleshly pride be removed from the earth. That was the footnote. The east wind then in the time of Ezekiel was Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And who at the time of great political unrest, which was the raging sea, came against Tyre, setting in motion the chain of events that led to her final destruction, that was considered in chapter 26. The lamentation. The fall of Tyre was an economic disaster of unprecedented proportions. Her fall caused distress to many nations who had put their trust in her and built their national lives around an economic system brought to its knees by the Babylonian east wind. What city is like Tyrus? They asked in dismay. How could this happen to such a successful commercial power? They could not see beyond the present evil world. They were unlike the faithful of all ages, who, following Abraham as pilgrims on the earth in its present arrangement, look for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The fall of Tyre holds a great lesson for us. The system of commerce and finance which props up the modern world is every bit as vulnerable as was Tyre. And like Tyre is soon to pass off the scene and never shalt be any more. Verse 36. We cannot avoid involvement in the financial and commercial activities of the world, but it ill behoves us to become too concerned with a system which is to pass away in a political upheaval far greater than that which brought an end to the influence of Tyre. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.